Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Hello, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to endabortion.tv and coming to you on various other platforms as well. We're in our Mother Angelica studios at our Priests for Life headquarters in Titusville, Florida. Today, I'm with our Executive Director, Janet Morano, who's also co-founder of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, together with Anglicans for Life and Georgette Forney. Janet, good to be with you.
Oh, glad to be here, Father.
And we have here our mascot.
Yes, this is my little dog, Gianni. And of course, I've been traveling, as you know, for the past few weeks. And Gianni's very lonely because he's been missing his mommy. And I thought also he'd be a good point in what our discussion
what
is
we have
today.
To talk about today. Yeah. Yes, yes. Well, we're recording this on the 12th of September.
Right.
Yesterday, of course,
September
the anniversary
11th.
Of September 11th, we can tie that in with what we need to say here, too, because it's pertinent. Because the day before yesterday, we were in our nation's capital,
right,
and we were there to do two things. Friends, you may have seen it. Hopefully, you've seen it on all our other social media and our website and our emails. Priests for Life has been advocating, as have many other groups, for a bill currently before the Congress to protect babies who are born alive after a failed abortion. That does happen. It is happening. It's a matter of public record that it's happening. And yet the law does not sufficiently protect these babies from either being left to die or being actively killed. So we're advocating for the passage of this bill, as are many other people. Now, the Republicans, Janet, in the House, they're in the minority in the U.S. House right now, so they don't control the committees or the agenda, which
That's
bills
right.
come to the floor and whatnot. And for reasons that most Americans find absolutely impossible to understand, the Democrats, be careful, he's on your microphone, the Democrats are completely opposed to this bill.
Right.
They don't even want it to get a vote or consideration or anything
at all. Well, see, they're opposed to the bill, Father. But they don't even want to have a discussion on the floor and bring it to a fair vote. The reason is, they are cowards. They, while they want to support infanticide, Luke, which is what this is, they don't want to come out of the closet about it. They want to keep this hidden, keep the bill, you know, in the closet, don't let it come out of committee. And of course, what the Republicans have done right now is to use a specific rule they have called the discharge petition. If they can get 218 signatures, then it doesn't matter. It forces the bill to the floor for a discussion and
it
a vote.
It discharges it from the committee.
So, you know, all the Republicans have signed it. We had three, praise God, Democrats who signed it. But the rest of the Democrats refused to sign it. So in our lobbying day, we went to the freshman Democrat, newly elected House members. We had about 50 of people come as volunteers with Priests for Life, plus our Priests for Life pastoral team. We divided up, and we saw probably close to 40, 45 members on Tuesday, where we went into their offices and said to them, we want you to sign the discharge petition. For example, if you're, you know, if this is the position you're taking, then why won't you say it publicly?
You know, Peter Singer, pro-abortion ethicist, said if you're not going to oppose abortion, well, then the only consistent thing to do is to endorse infanticide. And we see that the Democrat Party and the pro-aborts taking that to heart.
That's right.
They do endorse infanticide. They don't want to say it that way, and they don't want the public to know that, but they realize it's the only way that they can preserve their endorsement of abortion is to endorse infanticide. Because think of it this way: if the law can step in and protect a child whose mother has said, I want this child aborted, well, then what's the difference between 1 minute after birth and 1 minute before birth?
Right.
These people have made it clear they're in favor of abortion right up until birth. So then to say the baby has to be protected if he or she happens to come out accidentally alive is to unravel the whole pro-abortion argument that choice is more important than life.
That's right.
Because they'll even acknowledge, it's a human life, but, you know, it's in the mother's body. She has a choice. their whole position unravels if they support this legislation, even though the legislation does not limit abortion at all. It is not about the baby in the womb. It's only about the baby outside the womb.
Well, and of course, when we did our lobbying, you can hold this up, Father, we all wore, including you and Father Dennis, we wore these T-shirts that say, clearly, take action and infanticide. And then on the back side of it, it has, there we go, please vote on H.R. 962 and the practice of killing infants born alive. Now, this is a website, bornalive.us.
That's where people can
That's
get
where
lots
people
of
can
information.
Go, lots, yeah. And you can, they can actually see the hearing, because after we did the lobbying.
We had a hearing, right.
There was a hearing, which, again, this shows how ridiculous Nancy Pelosi is. Not only would she not let the Republican contingent have a regular formal hearing in the House, they had this like kind of like a side hearing. Unofficial hearing, but she wouldn't even let them have a regular hearing room.
There were rooms standing
empty
and available at the time we had that hearing, and the Republicans having the hearing brought this up.
Yeah,
there are rooms standing empty right now. We have to be in the basement,
sub-basement
of the Capitol visitors center. Yet 35 members of Congress come there for this hearing, and the Democrat Speaker of the House doesn't have the courtesy to give them a hearing room?
No. She wouldn't. They wouldn't. Not only do they want to grant the hearing, they won't even give them the hearing room.
A room.
A room. But at that hearing, Father, you know, there were some people who gave testimony. I think the most striking testimony for me was that there was documentation that a baby was born alive and took a breath, and instead of being helped, they pushed the baby into one of those biohazard bags and closed it.
Yeah.
So is that not suffocating a living human being?
Yeah.
And see,
yeah.
This bill would force them not to do that.
That's right.
Stop it.
This bill would stop that.
It would stop that and say that baby must be transferred emergency medical attention immediately, NICU or whatever, for his care. And people who are worried about the mother, like, oh, well, she wanted to abort that baby. Now what's going to happen? Nothing. You know, there's safe haven laws. She can get off that abortionist table and go home.
That's
She's
right.
not responsible for that baby anymore. But the baby is a living human being, deserves care. And that's why I have my little Gianni here on the set. Because isn't it ironic, Father, that if we talked about aborting a dog who was about to have puppies, there would be outrage. It would be front page news. Everyone would be up in arms. We see the commercials on TV, which I'm all in favor of protecting animals. I love my little dog here. But, you know, we've gotten so lopsided in this country. We're more worried about dogs who are in shelters, those commercials, you see them all the time, where dogs are being abused, and we have to help get these dogs out of these shelters and get good homes for these dogs. Then, of course, we know the sea turtle example. We're here in Florida where the sea turtles have more protection than babies. You can't even touch or destroy a sea turtle's egg for a $25,000 fine or life imprisonment. You know, a prison sentence. I mean, there was a case also, and probably people have young children, you probably saw this movie. There's a movie, Father, about a dolphin who lost its tail. Like a boat must have hit off this, and the dolphin was rescued. It's actually in an aquarium up in St. Peter. Do you know they built like a prosthetic flipper fin for this dolphin? Well, that's wonderful that we care about all these animals and the degree we'll go to save them and protect them. And look what we're doing to babies. We're throwing them, they're born out of an abortion, take a breath, and we're putting them as trash.
That happened to one of Gianni's puppies, can you imagine?
Oh, forget it. People will be up in arms about it.
Maybe
up in arms.
Major protest. So, yeah.
So this fight is not over. What we want to ask you to do, our Facebook family here, is very simple. This Congress, of course, is in session for another whole year and plus a few more months. And this discharge petition stays laying waiting. So we just have to get about, 17 more signatures. And then it forces it to the floor. Now, you might say, well, come on, Janet. They're all going to vote no. But you see, they might going to vote no anyway. But first of all, it comes to the floor for discussion. So the testimonies and the things that we know is true are going to come to light in congressional record. It'll be there as a permanent record. And then we will have them on the record voting no on this bill right before they're due up for re-election, which is perfect to say, okay, you vote no, that means you're saying yes to infanticide. So what we want you to do is contact your Democratic House representative, and you don't even have to call Washington. You can do so in their district office, which even counts more. You tell them, I'm one of your voters, and I will not vote for your reelection unless you sign this discharge petition now, today. You know, if their office is being called, we did those visits, Father, but if now their office starts getting flooded with phone calls saying, sign the petition, you know, at a certain point, because as we know, Nancy Pelosi and the party leadership are putting pressure on them not to sign it. You know that. And so, but if we can flood their office with enough of their constituents saying, sign it, they just might sign it, because what's more important, the number of votes I have or listening to Nancy Pelosi call me into her office and criticizing me, you know?
Well, friends, if you're just joining us, this is Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life, and we have Janet Morana, our Executive Director and co-founder of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign. And we are coming to you on multi-streaming, multiple platforms today. And we're talking about this Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. It's H.R. 962 in the United States House of Representatives. So we had this lobbying day on Tuesday. We had about 50 people sign up to join us to go out to these offices. Right. As you said, they were divided into nine teams, had some good discussions, and then a hearing that is very, very,
very powerful.
Powerful testimonies. Our friend Jill Stanek, she goes all the way back 20 years with this story of hers, where she actually held one of these babies that was aborted but was still alive,
right,
and held the baby till the baby died. We helped her get her story out at the very beginning.
Yes, we did. In the very beginning, yeah, we absolutely did.
And
matter of fact, we took a full-page ad out. I forget if it was
USA Today. Today, yeah.
And the big line was, rock your baby to death.
Rock-a-bye baby.
Rock-a-bye
till
baby
you die.
Till you die. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very sad. And the thing is, Father, you know, people also are saying to us, and let's clarify this, oh, but didn't we take care of this with this Born Alive bill back with Bush?
Right,
you know?
Well, because when Jill Stanek gave her story, we helped her get it out.
And
there were press conferences, right. There were brochures, that we printed brochures, there were interviews of all kinds. This led President George W. Bush then to sign a bill, the Born Alive Infants Protection Act. That is law right now, federal law. And so people say, well,
Didn't we do the job?
That particular law laid an important piece of the foundation, which now we're building on. The piece of the foundation that law put in place is that these children are persons. Any child born at any stage of gestation, you're born, you're considered a legal person. Now, again, it doesn't comment on their status when they're unborn. That's the whole reversal of the Roe v. Wade. Abortion issue. This is dealing with them once they're born. So the Born Alive Infants Protection Act of 2002 does something very important and foundational. These are legal persons. Okay. What it doesn't do is provide for situations like we know happen because of the testimony of eyewitnesses, because of the reporting that takes place by various states. The CDC also has reporting about babies born alive after abortion. What the existing law does not do is handle a situation where, okay, baby is born after a failed abortion, and the abortionist says, well, that baby was designated to be killed anyway. I was just trying to kill the baby, so I'm just going to ignore the baby, let the baby die, or take an active step there to kill the child. Right.
And we know
And the protection that does exist for these babies on the state level is not uniform. That's right. The point. If a baby is a legal person from coast to coast, well, then shouldn't there be equal protection for these babies? Shouldn't there be a provision in the law that says, do something. Right. If the baby is breathing, there's various signs of life with these very, very small premature babies. There could be signs of breathing, heartbeat, voluntary movement of the muscles, or pulsating of the umbilical cord. You see any of those four things or a combination of those things, this baby's alive.
Right.
And so what we're trying to do is to make the protection that these babies have more uniform, across the country, fill in the gaps where plenty of states don't. Right now, about 29 states have some kind of protection for babies that are born alive after an abortion. But 29 is not 50.
Right.
We want protection across the country, and it's very appropriate that they be protected in federal law, because, again, federal law already says that they're persons. So, I mean, what's the problem with this bill? Right. What's the problem with supporting this bill? What it says is that when that baby is born alive, the abortion facility there needs to take the baby to the nearest hospital.
Right.
Exactly what will be done medically depends on the medical situation. Right. But what it's saying is the standard of care should not be throw them in the garbage.
Right.
See, right now, some people, because some of these Democrat politicians, they were saying to us, oh, well, we're concerned about, you know, the standard of care that the bill sets forth. You know, the doctor has to decide what's best. Yeah, that's exactly what we're saying, too. The doctor's going to decide what the proper treatment is. But all we're saying is the standard of care right now is throw them in the garbage.
That's right.
And that's unacceptable.
And we also want the baby transported to the nearest hospital for proper care. Because people don't realize that a lot of these abortionists are not even regular medical doctors. I mean, laws are now passed in certain states where even a nurse practitioner and who knows what can do an abortion.
41 states require that a physician be the only one who can do an abortion.
But that's it.
That's 41.
The other
nine.
Anything goes.
You know,
anything
so it's goes. Like, wait a second, this doesn't make any sense. And, of course, the abortion lobby is pushing more and more for more states to just allow you know, other non-physicians to do abortions. But even the ones that are doctors, technically speaking, as we've talked many times and also with our friend and colleague Mark Crutcher, they are the lowest rung of the ladder of the medical profession.
And so, you know what it is, Father? Chances are, if this baby is born alive, unless it's given immediate medical attention, there's a very good chance that baby's going to pass away anyway.
Yes.
But what we're asking is treat it as a dignified
as the
human
person
being,
that it is. Yes,
that
that's
is,
right.
Okay? Not just throw it like that other case into a biohazard bag.
We got lots of testimonies, lots of stories.
And throw it in the garbage.
A lot of these stories have come out in the news over the years, over the decades.
That's right.
And to remind people of these various stories, that's why we've set up the bornalive.us website. People go there and we have the links. You can read some of these cases and some of these testimonies. Not to mention the abortion survivors, babies who have been born alive after an abortion and have survived into adulthood.
Right.
There's a whole network of them now, the 300.
Melissa
Odin, yes.
On her website, I think she's got over 300 survivors now with their testimonies.
Theabortionsurvivors.com.
Right, and you can read those stories. I mean, you know, just a simple thing to force these Democrats, you know, out into the open as to how extreme they are and get them to sign the discharge petition, and hopefully in the 2020 elections, we will not put them back in office.
Well, why in the world would we elect somebody who can't even bring him or herself to say that a baby born alive should be protected? How on earth? Because you know why they're disqualified from office? First of all, if you can't respect the life of a little baby, how can you respect ours,
right?
That's number one. But number two, if they do realize, if they don't have the moral judgment to realize that that's wrong, well then, and this is a different way of saying what we just said, then how can they have trustworthy moral judgment about any other issue? But then, if they do know that it's wrong, but they're cowards in the face of the House leadership, they don't even want to cross them by signing a discharge petition, would you want to elect cowards to be your leaders in this country? Is that what elections are about? Let's find the most cowardly person to elect. You got to have courage to lead. And it's an incredible lack of courage that they're showing. If they realize this is infanticide and they don't have the courage to stand up against their party leadership, or are they truly so uninformed, misinformed, that they think these babies are already protected or that this doesn't happen? In that case, why are you electing people who can't figure out their right hand from their left? They can't know the basic facts that have been a matter of public record for decades? Whatever way you slice it, whatever way you look at it, anyone who's not actively in support of this bill doesn't belong in public office.
That's right.
So what does Gianni think?
Gianni thinks, you know, sad. Look at a sad line. I think Gianni feels like he's more protected in America than babies.
He is. Because he is.
You know, there's laws in this country on the books that protect dogs and cats in veterinary clinics. You realize that, Father?
Yep.
Like where we used to be in New York, which New York just passed those liberal abortion laws, right? And in New York State, only a veterinarian can give the dog the shots,
which right. he got his shots recently.
And matter of fact, that's true here in Florida too, because yeah. I took him to the SPCA to the vet to get his little rabies and all the wonderful little shots. You know, the assistant was there weighing him and doing all that stuff. But when it came time for the injection, in came the veterinarian.
In came the vet
with the needle.
You know, but talking about the care of the animals, in New York State, where we're both from originally, passed back in January this outrageous law expanding abortion.
Right, through all 9 months.
And also taking away protection from these babies we're talking about today who are born alive after.
Born alive, right.
2 weeks later, that same legislature, under that same governor, passed a law
right.
saying that you cannot do
Deep
what?
Declaw your cat.
Friends, we're not making this up.
Now, you know, okay, you know, you may not want to declaw your cat, okay, Ray for the cats, they don't have to be declawed. They'll get all those nice little scratching posts to scratch and
get
all that.
Get the scratching posts.
Right.
Well, when they're not using your furniture.
Right, exactly. But, you know, if you don't have the right to declaw a cat in New York State, why do you have the right to smother a baby when it's born
it is such moral absurdity that, again, anybody that doesn't see this,
right.
the last place they belong
is in public office, where
they can write our laws.
Yeah.
That's it. So,
we want to remind you again, act.
That's
Contact
right.
your Democratic representatives. First of all, you should be telling them that they should vote yes for this law, which I know that's like a real miracle. But second, stop being a coward. Sign the discharge petition so we can bring this to a discussion and a vote. Stop sweeping it under the rug if you think infanticide is such a good thing. Stand up for it. If that's what you think you want, sign the discharge petition today. And Gianni's final words is, walk, walk, stand up for the baby.
That's right. All right, well, thanks, Janet, and thank you, brothers and sisters. Remember, bornalive.us, that's the website. Go there, learn more about this. Let's be a voice for the voice.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.